And now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A, it's Talk of the Town. Today is Prescott Day. Talk of the Town is sponsored by Barrett Propane, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, A&E Reaper Graphics, Prescott Dirt, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now, live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Thank you for listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at kqna.com. My name is Greg Mangarelli, and I'm the mayor of the city of Prescott and your host today. We have a great show. We'll be talking about the Granite Mountain Interagency Hotshot Crew Learning and Tribute Center. And this is a new tribute center that will be coming out on June 29th for their opening at the Prescott Gateway Mall. And on the show today, we have John Marsh, who is chair of the board for the center. We have Katie Cornelius, who's the curator for the Hot Shots Artifacts. And finally, we'll speak with one of the dedicated volunteers, Dennis Buchel. So my first guest is with me here, chair of the new board, John Marsh. John is the father of Eric Marsh, who was the crew leader of the Brave 19 Hotshots, who perished on June 13, 2013 in the Yarnell Hill Fire. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for being with us. I know listeners are very interested to hear what's going on with the Learning and Tribute Center, and it's been kind of long awaited. And these artifacts are very important, and it's important to give folks a place to go and see these artifacts. So I want to thank you for your service on the board, and most importantly, I'd like to thank you for your son and Eric's sacrifice and his willingness to serve as the leader of our Granite Mountain Hotshots. So. Let's talk about the board, John, just a little bit. Tell us about the mission of the board and who the other members of the board are currently.
Well, we have a 9-member board that was formalized in November. We tried to get a diverse board with people from the community at large, from education, family members of the Hot Shots, law enforcement, legal, as well as from the fire community.
Yeah, I was able to attend one of your board meetings here. I believe it was a few months ago, John, and you had a great group of people there that are extremely passionate about the mission to put all this learning and tribute center together. So tell us a little bit more. What is the mission of the board?
Well, the mission is to establish, operate, and maintain a wildland learning center that not only teaches about wildland firefighting, but about hot shots, and also to honor the 19 Granite Mountain hot shots.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that twofold mission, John. Of course, we want to remember the sacrifice that these great men made for our city. But as important is the learning center part of this, where people can better understand wildland fire and how we can do a better job with FireWise and other things to protect our city and our region for that matter. So I think that's a great mission. I know that Chief Light kind of got the ball rolling with a meeting or a few meetings back in 2017. Can you kind of tell us about those early meetings and kind of how things got started?
Well, in the early meetings, we had a diverse group of 30 to 40 people who represented not only the families but different divisions of firefighting, legal, and community. And from that group, we developed our mission statement, as well as eventually in November establishing a formal board of directors. And then also we have been working for several months on our corporation with the Corporation Commission as a nonprofit, got our bylaws and conflict of interest policies and all of the other things that make a board work smoothly.
Yeah, so it was really back in 2017 when you were able to put together the mission statement, the goals, and kind of, you know, what you're trying to do with this group, it sounds like. So what are your long-term goals, John, from the board's perspective for the center? You know, it's great that we're getting this in the mall here on the fifth anniversary of the tragedy, but what do you envision longer term, beyond 5 years, 10, 15 years out?
Well, the long-term goals, of course, is to continue to develop the learning part and update that as firefighting changes. Also, when funds are available, we hope to have our own building and permanent center that can be visited from all over the United States and the world, in fact.
Well, I think that's an excellent long-term goal. I think it's important that while we have this space in the mall here at this time, I think it's important that we find a more permanent place for these artifacts and for this mission of the Learning and Tribute Center. So what's been the response, John, from the family members and kind of the community in general as you guys have ramped this up and talked about, you know, kind of what you were doing? What's been the response?
Well, the family members that I've had contact are enthusiastic that we not only preserving the artifacts and memorabilia, but honoring their sons. The community has been waiting a long time to put this together and participate, so they've been very eager to help us out.
Yeah, I would agree. It's been long overdue. Let me just go back regarding those board members. Can you list all those board members that are currently serving on the board?
The current board members, Karen Norris, who is the mother of one of the hotshots, Dennis Bushell, who is a retired firefighter, Tom Haney, who is currently a firefighter and mayor, Jason Lohman, retired policeman and also involved in fire, Marty Reed, who is their assistant superintendent of schools, Tony Shaw represents the legal part, Nancy Christie and Diane Clevenger are community members who have been very instrumental in getting this whole thing started.
Yeah, you have a very diverse group there, a lot of expertise and a good representation of our community there, John. That's a great board that's been put together to carry out this mission. So let's go back to the center itself. Tell us a little bit more. I know you've had some, are going to have some private events for family members scheduled before the center opens. Kind of tell us about that rollout.
Well, the board, different from a lot of them, they've donated hundreds of hours of their own time volunteering and setting up the center, as well as passing the hat and collecting money financially so we could open a bank account. The family event will be at 6 to 7 on the 28th so that the family people can come in and be in private and look, since this can be a very emotional situation for them. But we have 4,600 square feet of space and display and storage, and so it's going to be quite impressive.
Yeah, so I understand that all of the artifacts, and we'll probably talk more with Dennis and Katie about this later, but all of the artifacts are, in fact, here at the mall in one place, even though they're not all displayed just yet, but they're all stored there.
Correct. There's thousands of artifacts and artwork, and some will be on display and then rotated periodically.
Yeah, very good. Well, how can our listeners help the board meet its goals for a permanent center? What can our community do to get involved?
Well, they can spread the word about the center. They are welcome to visit. They can register as a volunteer to help us operate because it's totally volunteer-operated. And, of course, they can help financially if they see fit.
Yeah, very good. So will you be planning any formal fundraisers, John, that you know of coming up?
After the opening, we'll have many different kinds of fundraisers and events. We'll also reach out for corporate donors and sponsors and a lot of grants.
Yeah, no, very good. So where can people learn more about how to plug in or help out?
Well, in Business Center, they'll have blank registration blanks so they can give their information. Also, we have an email address, info@gmihc19.org. We have a website, gmihc19.org, and a Facebook page, gmihc19.
Right. So it sounds like, if you can remember, Granite Mountain Interagency Hotshot Crew, that's the key. GMIHC19.org and GMIHC19 on Facebook, and info@GMIHC19.org. So that's good information for our listeners to have so they can learn more and get more information. And it's my understanding that you guys will be opening on the 29th. And that is a time when the public can come, get more information, see the artifacts. And I believe it's going to be open through the 4th of July, if I'm not mistaken, every day.
The first week in July will be open, and then afterwards in July it will be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay. Well, John, I really appreciate you being on the show today and taking time to be here. I appreciate all you're doing to put the Learning and Tribute Center together. We're excited about this new chapter, and we look forward to the board's continued work to remember the Granite Mountain Hotshots and to inform the public about wildland firefighters. So I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Well, I'd like to thank you, Mayor, and I'd like to thank the people of the city of Prescott and all the people that volunteered to help us.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again so much. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Katie Cornelius, the curator of the Granite Mountain Interagency Hotshot Crew Learning and Tribute Center, as well as Dennis Buchel. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. After a very dry winter, this year's fire season could be more dangerous than normal. As a former hotshot, I'd like to share some tips on being prepared if you have a propane tank. Know how to shut off your propane tank, and in the event of a wildfire, do so, if safe, if you must evacuate your home. Clear a 10-foot area around your tank and remove any combustibles that can easily ignite. And remember, never store your barbecue cylinders indoors or in an enclosed area. You can find more fire preparation safety tips at BarrettPropane.com. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 White Spar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
Are you looking for the right product at the right price with outstanding customer service? A&E Reaper Graphics brings it all together with a variety of printing that includes banners, business cards, and so much more. A&E Reaper Graphics will get you the best products at the best price, all with our 100% customer satisfaction guaranteed. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
When you need specialized outpatient infusion therapy, you need it to fit into your busy life. But at the same time, you need comfortable, expert treatment. You need the Infusion Center in Prescott Valley on the campus of YRMC East. At the Infusion Center, you'll find state-of-the-art care with your lifestyle and healthcare needs in mind. Your convenience and comfort are foremost. You'll register right there at the center. No need to visit the hospital admitting department. And each infusion bay is spacious and private with a laptop plug-in and a private television. We work closely with your physician, and we teach you how to care for yourself during therapy so that you can be an active partner in your treatment. Just like you, our goal is your good health so that you can continue enjoying the life you love, surrounded by those who care for you. The Infusion Center at YRMC East, next to the Breast Care Center. For more information, call 442-8741 or visit yrmc.org.
We've been celebrating Prescott Brewing Company's annual June Barbecue Month for 2 weeks now, where Prescott Brewing Company joins the summer party with some outstanding barbecue specials all month long. No 2 weeks are the same, and each week's special comes with made-in-house cowboy beans, coleslaw, and a green chili cheddar cornbread muffin. Week 3 features smoked St. Louis-style ribs, and week 4 ends the month with a smoked shredded chicken barbecue sandwich, and all for only $14.99. Be sure to join us at Prescott Brewing Company, your hometown barbecue brewery, every June.
We'll drive, you play. It's the Cliff Castle Casino Express, offering round-trip luxury motor coach service to Cliff Castle Casino. Pay just $10 and receive $25 in free slot play or match play. Plus, once you earn 100 slot points, you'll get free breakfast or lunch at Mountain Springs Buffet. Buses leave from Flagstaff and Prescott Thursday and Saturday. Call 888-LUCK-BUS or visit cliffcastlecasino.com to find out more. Cliff Castle Casino Hotel, the perfect place to play.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Everyone's talking about Augie's Restaurant.
Augie's has the best appetizers and the best martinis ever.
It's got a really great atmosphere, a real homey feeling when you go in there. They got a great service staff that takes care of you from when you walk in to when you leave.
It's warm, it's friendly, it's fun, it's home away from home.
Chef Joel, best chef ever.
Check out Augie's. It's the place to dine on Highway 69, Augie's Frontier Village.
Hi, I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle Bros. You gotta admit, Ted, we get pretty popular in the summer.
I know, Adam. We get service calls from all over the Prescott area.
And we also get quite a few from Cottonwood, Clarkdale, and Sedona.
How do you know that?
A little Verdi told me.
Oh, brother.
That's me.
Keep your cool with a quick call to Gettle's High Desert Mechanical, serving all of Yavapai County. G-O-E-T-T-L. Visit GettlesHDM.com. Don't settle. Get Gettle's High Desert Mechanical heating, cooling, and plumbing.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Mayor Greg Mangarelli, and this is Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Well, we have two guests with us now. We have Katie Cornelius, who's the curator for the Hotshot Artifacts, and we have Dennis Buchel, who's one of the dedicated volunteers for the Learning and Tribute Center. Welcome, guys. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us on.
Absolutely. Well, my pleasure. Well, let's just talk more about your role and working on behalf of the Prescott Fire Department. What does that look like in terms of putting all this together?
Well, for me, it'll be 5 years this fall that I've been working with the Prescott Fire Department. And the way I became involved was they had taken the items off the fence. I was not involved in that. And they had a newspaper article asking for volunteers, so I volunteered. And by the way, we still need volunteers at the center, so if you're listening and you want to be involved, yes, we need help. But I showed up, and everything was wet, and it was 90 degrees, and I'm a former museum registrar, and I went, oh my gosh, we need to get this stuff dry, we need to do these things. And very quickly, the fire department came to me and they said, would you be our curator? In fact, they took me on a ride-along and asked me to be their curator.
Wow.
It was very cool. So I've been involved since then, and we've continued to be involved. Dennis and I both have. We're actually City of Prescott volunteers, so we are officially... I'm officially the curator for the Prescott Fire Department. I know it sounds really strange, but...
That's very specific and very important. So you have a background, Katie, in doing this kind of thing in terms of preserving these artifacts, it sounds like.
Yes. So back in Michigan, I was a registrar for the Lenawee County Historical Society, and then had my children. We moved out here, and so I volunteered at Charlotte Hall for 3 years. And so in the process of volunteering at Charlotte Hall, I learned more about preservation. And preservation is different in Arizona than it is in Michigan, humidity differences
sure.
and whatnot. So I learned that there. So it was very fresh because I was a volunteer at Charlotte Hall at the time, and then switched gears. And
okay.
I only work with the artifacts for Granite Mountain. But that's something I've been doing for, oh no, I'm going to date myself. I'm old for over 20 years, 25 years now.
Okay. Wow. Lots of experience. Dennis, how did you get pulled in as a volunteer?
Well, I initially was helping with the department when I first moved to Prescott back in 05. And then I was off. And after I heard, got word of what had happened, the week after, I started volunteering to just help the department in any way they needed. I knew that they were overloaded with stuff, and I was just going to try and do what I can to take some load off. And it evolved into doing where I, getting me to where I am right now, which was not even on my radar, is dealing with the artifacts and following through with wherever they're going right now. And I went from being a gopher to just doing different tasks to help move the items from the different stations, especially Station 7, where a lot of stuff came in.
Mm-hmm.
And not just what was on the fence, but other donated artwork items and so forth, and learning how to accession. Was taught something that I hadn't thought about or planned.
Accessioning is so much fun, isn't it?
Oh, I love it.
Oh. So do 200 other people in Prescott that helped.
Yes, we had a lot of volunteers back then, too. And it's just evolved into the point where I was kind of, during storage, kind of an unofficial guardian. And when this point in time came to start the center, then I was given tasks to organize that transition.
Yeah. So all this has been in storage up until now in a city building, kind of an abandoned building that the city had. And so what an important job to make sure all that has been kept safe. Appreciate your both of your work in that. And as I listen to both of you, I just think this is a part of what makes our city great, and that is volunteers who see a need, who step up, and are willing to do whatever it takes to serve our city. And so thank you on behalf of the city and the city council for your work, very important work on this. So tell me about the new space. What do you think about as it's kind of taken shape? And I know it's still a bit under construction, but what are your initial thoughts on how it's coming together?
Well, I'm thought we would have a space that was more than big enough. Now that we're in it, we are using every square inch of that place.
Mm-hmm.
We were very fortunate that the previous tenant had left a lot of shelving in the back,
mm-hmm.
and we are about 98% usage of all that shelving with items.
Wow.
We know that people are bringing stuff in even now. With the five-year anniversary, we've already received items, and we're going to have to find space for that stuff.
Okay.
And we're going to have to go to the top shelves,
I think. We are going to have to go to the top shelves, and it's ladder work when you go there.
Yeah. But we have ladders, which is wonderful.
Yeah,
which
you do, no,
but
that's
we are very fortunate to get the space we did because it's working out very well.
Well, and what I love about it is we're actually in the old Foot Locker space down by Dillard's in mm-hmm. the Prescott Gateway Mall, and all of the walls are metal. Mm-hmm. And so as a curator, I am delighted that I can use magnets, which do not damage right. the artifacts in any way, shape, or form,
good.
To hang everything. And it makes it very quick, very easy, and we can move things around. We have how many shirts on the back wall, Dennis?
On the back wall,
I told him to put them there, but I didn't put them up. He did.
233 shirts on the back wall.
So we have 233 t-shirts that were on the tribute fence around Station 7 that are on the back wall. And it was very easy to maneuver and figure out the layout because we were able to use magnets to attach them to the wall.
Right.
And so you can't even see how they're hung. They look amazing. It's a very powerful statement when you come in and see these shirts on the back wall. Plus, we have a grand total, there's over 500 shirts on display. That's the number one artifact you're going to see. And so the exhibit theme is literally the shirts off their backs, because every single shirt was something that somebody took off while they were here in Prescott to honor the 19 and put on that fence.
Mm.
So there's over 1,100 grand total. We only have room for 500 on display right now, but every aspect of the exhibit touches on the shirt off their backs.
Yeah, that's an interesting theme, Katie. You know, I don't think any of us, I know for me, I had no idea the enormity of the number of artifacts that were there. I remember that even around the back fence, if you will, opposite where everyone could even see, there were artifacts nearly all the way around Station 7. An amazing number of artifacts that were left behind. So you've kind of talked about the T-shirts, Katie, but can you give us an idea of the different types of artifacts, you know, that have been maintained, preserved, and kind of the full breadth of that?
So over 5,000 items were taken off the fence, and they range from artwork to toys to T-shirts to photographs. There's too many items to mention. We actually broke them down into categories like toys, sports equipment, equipment, you know, firefighting equipment, mm-hmm. clothing. We had to break them down into so many categories just to be able to organize them. And we were very fortunate that the original directors who took down the items, Jan Monroe and Dottie Morris, they actually had numbered the fence and taken pictures.
Wow.
So when they took them down, this was Section 1. This was Section 2, and we have photographs. So if you left something on the fence at Station 7, there's a really good chance not only do we have it, but we can find it very quickly because it was accessioned. So it was accessioned by the section number and then the type of item it was. So if you left a Smokey Bear, which is going to be on display, mm-hmm. I'd love to know who left the Smokey Bear. I was very excited to see it. If you left that, we can tell you where it was on the fence, show you a picture of it, mm-hmm. and actually pull it out of storage. Now, most volunteers won't be able to do that, but if I'm at the center and you come in and say, hey, I left this, and you can show me in the picture what it is, there's a good chance we can find it.
Interesting. Yeah, that's an amazing amount of detail they went to catalog or preserve exactly
that's
how things...
That's what we do in museums.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So tell us kind of what to expect. You know, it sounds like there's going to be a lot of T-shirts, a lot of different types of artifacts. And then there's also kind of this learning piece to the Learning and Tribute Center. Tell us a little bit about that.
So for the one-year anniversary, we did an exhibit called A Fire Department Remembers. And that had 9 kiosks that were three-sided. And it told the story of the Granite Mountain Hotshots, what it was like to be a hotshot. Mm-hmm. And it told something about each hotshot from the perspective of being a firefighter. At the time of the one-year anniversary, we had heard stories of them as fathers, as sons, mm-hmm. as brothers, as husbands, as friends. But nobody was telling the story about what it was to be a hotshot. We knew they were an elite group of firefighters. What does that mean? And most people think it means going out with water and hoses and somehow stopping a forest fire. That's right. Not what they do. They use saws, chainsaws. The number mm-hmm. one tool to fight a fire is the chainsaw and a shovel. And looking at those items, we wanted to share with the public how very difficult the job is to be a hotshot. It is an elite form of firefighting. Mm-hmm. It's very dirty. It is very physically difficult, but yet it's also a lot of fun. I've gotten to know a lot of hotshots during this time period, and the stories they tell me are just fabulous. I can see why guys love to do this, and I can see why it's a young man's job versus mm-hmm. an older man's job. But we wanted to share that with the public and talk to them about what their certifications were, what kind of training mm-hmm. they did. So we've brought those kiosks back, and we did change them up a little bit to make them relevant to today. Like we did put in the final report for the Yarnell fire. We didn't have that 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we did put that in, and we changed some things to make it a little bit more relevant. The What's Next panel had to come down because none of that happened. So that was kind of interesting to go, oh, the predictions 4 years ago were all wrong. There was only one thing that was correct, and that was that Prescott firefighters would wear the orange 19 on their T-shirts from now mm-hmm. on. And that was the only thing that was correct.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, when you talk about wildland firefighters and hotshots, I get some sense of that. My oldest son was a wildland firefighter, and he's kind of an adrenaline junkie, honestly.
Yes, they all are.
Yeah.
Very much.
And we learned about him, which I think would probably be true of most of our hotshots, that in tight spots, in situations where most people don't know what to do or they get scared or they go the other way, he would you know, have a clear mind and be able to know what to do and think clearly. And it was interesting to see that early on with him. And I think you're right, is a special person that is a hot shot. And we saw that in these guys, that they were very special people who left an amazing legacy. And I'm so glad that we're on to preserving that legacy in so many different ways. And the Learning and Tribute Center is a great way to preserve that legacy and to remember these young men who were amazing people who answered the call, honestly, and were willing to put themselves in a position to save others and to prevent others from harm. And so we're deeply grateful. With the center, can you guys tell me, will this rotate? You know, you talked about 5,000 different artifacts, Katie, and there's no way in this space that we can that you can show all these off. So will it rotate, or kind of do you know what might happen over time?
You know, I actually can reconstruct the fence if I wanted to. So I don't think it's the right time to do that. Mm-hmm. But we do have the ability to reconstruct it. So I could put all 5,000 items out. But we want to tell a story to mm-hmm. the people who visit. And so right now the focus is the shirts off their back. So the primary artifact you're going to mm-hmm. see is the T-shirts. At the Prescott Public Library earlier this month, well, actually in May, we had over 240 mm-hmm. flags up, and that was out of the 700 that were left. And so there's the opportunity to take many of one item and mm-hmm. show this off, and it's a very powerful way to express what people were feeling. Mm-hmm. Many people felt very patriotic and showed that with mm-hmm. items that were very patriotic. Of course, it was also the 4th of July holiday right after that. Mm-hmm. So the artifacts all tell different stories. We have opportunities to explore more of the learning side from these artifacts. One of the things that strikes me is the amount of art that was produced. Mm-hmm. We have examples of fine art. We have examples of folk art and everything in between. And so I would love to see a focus on the arts and how people mm-hmm. use the arts for healing mm-hmm. and for expression, especially in Prescott. The number of music that has been produced mm-hmm. is something I'd love to explore. There's so many things we can look at in years to come. And but that's where after the opening we'll be planning a 5-year plan for exhibits to make sure we keep it fresh. But what you're seeing right now, I'm guessing that will be up for the next year is what we're thinking. Yeah, he's okay. Going definitely yeah. No, you're not allowed to change
we,
it.
We have a lot of other fine tuning in all the background stuff and we need that space and time to kind of regroup. So, yeah, and it'll be good to just have it out there for people to see over a period of time.
Gotcha. So there could be over time, not the first year, but over time, there could be a thematic rotation, possibly whether
that's
it's arts or
the plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is we would like to literally come up with the exhibit, you know, to have a theme and to have some continuity mm-hmm. as we lean more and more into learning. And mm-hmm. really focus on wildfire prevention.
Yeah. I was just thinking, we're going to have to go to a break here real soon, but how long were people putting things up on the fence? You know, obviously it started probably July 1, the
Dennis
day after.
Started it.
Dennis put the first thing out. Okay.
He did. He honestly
yeah.
did.
How long? Was it a month? I don't recall. How long were people putting things out?
It was 2 months.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Wasn't there monitoring, but up until the point of, okay, this is the day we're going to start taking stuff down.
Right.
But even then, stuff was, still. If it wasn't on the fence, it was still being mailed. And
okay.
Coming in.
Okay.
Whether it was for the families or for the department.
Right. Yeah, I was just thinking about that because Katie's talking about artwork, you know, which in many cases, I mean, it was all custom for the 19, you know, it wasn't something that they'd already done. It was typically something that they had made in the aftermath.
It was how they dealt with their emotions.
Right, right.
And it's some of the works are truly beautiful, and some of them you can feel the emotion coming out. And they worked with what they knew. Mm-hmm. So no matter what their skill was, they worked with that. And it was an incredible story that's told by that.
You know, it's been 5 years back now, but I don't remember exactly, but it was months that we were still moving stuff over to into storage that was coming in. Almost, it tapered down within 12 months, but a long time.
Yeah, that's incredible. So there was stuff coming in that we didn't even notice because it wasn't put out at Station 7. It was just mailed in or brought in after the fact. So 5,000 artifacts, that is amazing, and I'm certain that, well, you've already stated that there are artifacts, memorials coming in on the 5th anniversary just to add to the collection. So we're talking to Katie Cornelius and Dennis Bouchel with the Granite Mountain Interagency Hotshot Crew Learning and Tribute Center, learning more just about what they're doing to prepare the Learning and Tribute Center to be open on June 29th. We have a lot more to talk about, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service Sales and Rentals, and we're proud to have been chosen one of the top 50 RV dealerships in North America. We're located at Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69, Prescott Valley, and Dewey, and online at AffinityRV.com.
Affinity RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
You. Yeah, you. Has curb appeal been on your mind? Bet it is now. This is Sam from Prescott Dirt. Let us help you make a Pinterest-worthy yard to show off. With all our new rock colors, you can beautify your yard and blow your neighbors away. Find your inspiration and bring it to Prescott Dirt. We'll make your yard as unforgettable as you are. We have locations in both Prescott and Prescott Valley, so there's no excuses. Call us today, 636-5844, or online at PrescottDirt.com.
Wow, Prescott Friendship Rotary puts on quite a garden party. It's the 13th annual Grapes for Grades auction and wine tasting to benefit the PUSD 21st Century Summer Program. And the garden is Waters Garden Center. Some of the proceeds from this event will provide funding for this great program that builds a strong foundation in all academic basics and enrichment classes in science and computers. The date of this year's garden party is Sunday, June 24th from 5 till 8, and tickets are $50 each. As is traditional with this event, 12 different wines will be available for tasting, as well as local beers from Prescott Brewing. Music will again be provided by local great Steve Annabali, and hors d'oeuvres and sweets that will tease your taste buds will be prepared by Barry Barbie's El Gato Azul. Tickets are available at Olson's for Healthy Animals in Prescott, as well as Prescott True Value, Waters Garden Center, and PrescottFrontierRotary.com. Hey folks, don't miss it. Good enough just isn't.
The talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Good afternoon, and thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Wednesday. I'm Link Elliott with a check of news and weather together on Talk of the Town, brought to you by Affinity RV. A nursing home for veterans in Prescott is among the worst in the nation. The Community Living Center has received 1 star out of 5 from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. According to federal data and evaluations obtained by the USA Today Network, the Prescott Nursing Home provides short-term rehabilitation and stabilization for veterans, including medical care, nursing, and multiple therapies. Although it has 85 beds, the most recent available records show only 45 are typically in use. Northern Arizona VA Healthcare System spokeswoman Mary Dillinger has told the Arizona Republic improvements have been made since the last evaluation was done. Dillinger said new scores are scheduled to be issued next month. The Cottonwood Police Department is partnering with the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office for emergency public notifications.
City officials say until recently, the police department had used a web-based system locally branded as the Cottonwood Emergency Notification System. According to communications manager Marie Carpenter, the system was used very rarely for public notifications. The Sheriff's Office uses code RED for notifications for all of Yavapai County, so it didn't make sense fiscally or operationally to have two notification systems essentially serving the same area with the potential to send conflict messages. Cottonwood police have reached out to the sheriff's office, which is willing to send emergency notifications on behalf of the city. Area residents are encouraged to sign up for code RED by visiting ycsoaz.gov. A link is also available on the City of Cottonwood website. I'm Bill Monroe reporting.
Taking a look now at your KQ&A weather.
Clear tonight, sunny and hot tomorrow. Expect an overnight low of 65 tonight in the Prescott area with a high of 96 tomorrow and a high of 95 on Friday. 68 degrees tonight for Cottonwood and the Verde Valley with a high on Thursday of 106 and a high on Friday of 103. Talk of the town will continue after this. I'm Link Elliott for the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM, KQ&A.
We've been celebrating Prescott Brewing Company's annual June Barbecue Month for 2 weeks now, where Prescott Brewing Company joins the summer party with some outstanding barbecue specials all month long. No 2 weeks are the same, and each week's special comes with made-in-house cowboy beans, coleslaw, and a green chili cheddar cornbread muffin. Week 3 features smoked St. Louis-style ribs, and week 4 ends the month with a smoked shredded chicken barbecue sandwich, and all for only $14.99. Be sure to join us at Prescott Brewing Company, your hometown barbecue brewery, every June.
Hi, Kim here with the Plants of the Week and our Lavender Shades Blooming Penta.
One of the best butterfly attracting plants. It's right up there with milkweed, only prettier.
Hummingbirds have to dance around all the butterflies of this deeply colored summer bloomer.
Plant a few in the vegetable garden to attract pollinators that help tomatoes and squash set more fruit, all for under $10.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love to garden, they love to shop.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Hi, this is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. After a very dry winter, this year's fire season could be more dangerous than normal. As a former hotshot, I'd like to share some tips on being prepared if you have a propane tank. Know how to shut off your propane tank, and in the event of a wildfire, do so, if safe, if you must evacuate your home. Clear a 10-foot area around your tank and remove any combustibles that can easily ignite. And remember, never store your barbecue cylinders indoors or in an enclosed area. You can find more fire preparation safety tips at BarrettPropane.com. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the mayor, Greg Mangarelli, and we have a great show here talking about the Granite Mountain Interagency Hotshot Crew Learning and Tribute Center. I can do that. That's a long
good
name.
Good job.
But, very important work here. We've talked to John Marsh early in the show, the father of Eric Marsh, one of the hotshots. And now we're talking to Dennis and Katie, who are kind of the boots on the ground that are helping make sure this comes off and is ready to go on June 28th for the families, which is just around the corner. It's coming up quick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm just a little nervous.
Yeah. Before we get back into some details here, I just wanted to make sure our listeners knew exactly where we're talking about. This is at the Prescott Gateway Mall in the Foot Locker. What was the Foot Locker? And then give us when this is going to be open, at least the first week and kind of moving forward, Dennis, so people know exactly when they can come out to see this.
We have a couple of lead up events that's not open to the public, but on Friday the 29th at noon we will have our grand opening, and that will be from noon to 4, and then on Saturday we'll be open from 10 to 3:30, close a little earlier, so people that want to be down at the plaza downtown will have plenty of time if they're at the mall. And then Sunday, the mall opens at 11. We'll be open 11 to 4. And then the following week, starting in on July 2nd, we'll be open from every day, Monday through Saturday, 10 to 4. And then on Sunday, 11 to 4. After that week, we will change our hours and times to Friday and Saturday, 10 to 4, Sunday, 11 to 4. And continue that way. Any additional days or hours that we'd be open is going to be driven by additional volunteers. We don't want to burn anybody out, and we're definitely looking for more volunteers, and that will drive how often we can be open.
Yeah, no, I appreciate all that information, and And Dennis, let me just remind our listeners, we talked about this when John was on early on, but if listeners remember GMIHC19, that's the website. They can also go to Facebook, GMIHC19. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And then also info at GMIHC19 at...
.org.
.org. Okay. So, very important information. If you want to find out when the center is going to be open, you can go to that website or go to Facebook, and I'm sure you can find it there. So let's jump back in and talk a little bit more about the center and kind of shift gears a little bit and maybe focus a little bit more on the volunteer side of things and pick on Dennis here a little bit. But what's the role of the volunteers? You know, you talked about Dennis, I think early on, you probably had an army of volunteers to move all this to storage. Now you've had volunteers helping you get it into the center, but what all is involved as a volunteer?
Well, it's just the various tasks, and we actually, not getting into all the hours, because I didn't track all of that early on when everything was put in storage initially. But when we knew that we were going to be moving all the artifacts and started basically packing everything, at that point, which started last year, late fall last year, everything was packed. To the present time, we've got about 900 hours in volunteer time to date. And that's just a rough estimate. That involved the packing, moving, getting everything to the center, unpacking, and getting it all shelved. As we have been proceeding and setting up, we have anywhere from 3 to 6 on the days that we're there working, setting things up, depending on how many tasks and how much needs to be done.
And so, if Katie shows up and says, no, no, change that, change this, change that.
Then we do double duty.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah. So how many volunteers do you have right now, and kind of what do you need?
Well, other than the board itself, we do, I understand, have approximately somewhere between 20, 24 volunteers that are scheduled for docent training on Saturday. And that's to get us started. And we definitely need more. But those are going to be those that have signed up already, and we're going to go through and train them, get them started to operate in the center.
Yeah, very good. So, and I'm assuming the primary role, Dennis, is just kind of manning the center, if you will, the docent being there, opening and being there when visitors arrive. Is that kind of the primary role?
Yeah, kind of keep an eye on things, be there to answer questions for any of the people. I know there's going to be a lot of people there that are just going to be looking, reading the material, reflecting. It's just something, let them have their time, but out. For the docents, it's just being there, so when they do have any specific questions, they'll be able to respond to that.
Okay. Yeah, very good. You know, I'm certain, Katie and Dennis, that we are going to have more volunteers who are going to step up and want to be involved. I mean, I think what a very important role that these people play to kind of help facilitate people through the Learning and Tribute Center. You know, it's going to be, we were talking off air a little bit, it's going to be a very emotional time, I think, because, you know, I know for myself, I haven't seen this, these artifacts for 5 years. And so it's really going to be an extremely powerful and emotional display, I think, for a community. Something that we probably really can't prepare for.
Well, and some of the items that we're going to have on display are things that are actual artifacts of the Grand Mountain Hotshots. So we have old uniforms. Mm. They were originally a Type 2 crew, and then
right.
They were a trainee crew, and then they were a hotshot crew. So their shirts reflect that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the front and backs of all those shirts
okay.
on display. And that might be something that throws people off when they see that because they're surrounded by the whiteboard that was in Station 7 the morning of June 30th. And each hotshot had put down how they felt that morning, What was their percentage of how they felt? And so, you know, they are, some of them were at 100% and some of them were at 80% and some of them were stashless. And I'll let you figure out which one was stashless that morning. But when you see that, that's, you know, to think this is one of the last things they did was talk about how they were feeling that morning before they went out the door. And we have that there.
Yeah.
So we have items that, you know, might surprise people. We have a large selection of movie memorabilia because a lot of people found out about the hot shots about from the movie. And so we have movie memorabilia and we have things from the movie. We have a large display on the state park. For those who are unable to get there, it's fantastic that we're going to really be able to showcase what a beautiful, beautiful tribute and memorial the state park is. Especially in the summer, you're not going to be hiking down there. So we have many items that will surprise people, but we'll also have a few that delight people. We have a large selection of Smokey Bear things. That's a fun thing that we're going to have there. Because Hot Shots, you know, it is a tribute center, but at the same time, Hot Shots are a great group of guys, and we want to honor the fun in their lives as well.
No, that's good. And when you talk about the movie, Katie, you're talking about Only the Brave.
Correct.
Yeah. That's an interesting twist, and I'm glad you mentioned that, just the personal nature of some of the artifacts, not from the fence, but truly right from the Hot Shots.
Correct. We literally have the shirts off their back.
Yeah, interesting. Well, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap it up with Katie and Dennis here. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at KQ&A.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle
Brothers
from Gettle's High Desert Mechanical.
And the coolest guys in town.
I don't know, Ted. I looked at your high school yearbook picture. There's nothing cool about that.
Yeah, but when people need a new air conditioner, they should come see us, the coolest guys in town.
Just don't look us up in the yearbook.
Oh, brother.
That's us.
It doesn't have to be a long, hot summer when you get air conditioning done right by Gettle's High Desert Mechanical. GettlesHDM.com. Don't settle. Get Gettle's and stay cool all summer long.
How many Augie's locations are there worldwide? Well, the answer, of course, is one. The one and only Augie's. Locally owned, locally operated, locally inspired by you, the people of the Quad Cities. Delicious steak, scrumptious salmon, huge shrimp cocktail, the best martinis bar none. Open every day for lunch and dinner, and ask about Augie's outdoor patio. The place to dine on Highway 69. The one and only Augie's Frontier Village.
You do your best to protect your loved ones, and while you may keep a fresh battery in your smoke detector and have a reliable home security system, there's a whole different type of protection you may be missing. A life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance is a way to safeguard your loved ones now and in the future. Meet with your local independent agent and secure a policy today to protect theirs tomorrow. Hi, this is Corey Roseman with House Chilson Insurance. We are one of the only locally owned independent insurance agencies in Prescott. Come see us today at 400 White Spire Road or call 445-4600.
Is your advertising being noticed? Getting the right attention means getting the right business. At A&E Reaper Graphics, we focus not only on customer service, but also highest quality printing and design that is sure to catch the eye. A&E Reaper Graphics knows how to design, print, and deliver what you're looking for in your time frame. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
Dad, what are you doing?
Cramming for college.
I'm the one going to college.
Yeah, but we need to figure out how we're going to pay for it all.
Discover Student Loans.
Discover does student loans?
Yeah, they're one of the top student loan lenders in the country. It takes 15 minutes or less to apply, and there are no fees for the life of the loan. Best of all, I can earn cash rewards if I get good grades.
Really?
Yeah, we still have time to apply and get a great rate.
So I can just chill. College kids still say that, right?
No one says that, Dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Visit discoverstudentloans.com to apply today. Limitations apply.
We'll drive, you play. It's the Cliff Castle Casino Express, offering round-trip luxury motor coach service to Cliff Castle Casino. Pay just $10 and receive $25 in free slot play or match play. Plus, once you earn 100 slot points, you'll get free breakfast or lunch at Mountain Springs Buffet. Buses leave from Flagstaff and Prescott Thursday and Saturday. Call 888-LUCK-BUS or visit CliffCastleCasino.com to find out more. Cliff Castle Casino Hotel, the perfect place to play.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mayor Greg Mangarelli, and we just have a couple minutes to finish up the show here with Katie and Dennis. Thank you guys so much for being with us today. Really appreciate all the information. I know our listeners are anxious to hear about this and, more importantly, to get to see it. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
For being here today. A lot of great information. I want to make sure our listeners, again, just to kind of repeat, we need volunteers. Dennis, you talked about that. Katie, you mentioned off air here that people don't need experience. If they moved to town 1, 2, 3 years ago and had just kind of learned from a distance, if you will, that's okay.
It's totally okay. We will teach you what you need to know.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, and so then with email, I think would be the best way if you want to volunteer. You can email at info@gmihc19.org. You can also go to the website at gmihc19.org. And I just want to say, as a 24-year Prescott resident, my wife and I consider Prescott to be our home, and the folks who live here are family. And 5 years ago, on June 30th, 2013, our entire family was devastated by the news that the 19 young men lost their lives in battling the Yarnell Hill fire. These brave men were part of the Granite Mountain Interagency Hotshot Crew, and they gave their lives protecting our community, and our thoughts and prayers were with them at that time and are with the families now as we come upon the fifth-year anniversary of the tragedy that took them from us. So God bless the fallen 19, their families and friends, and everyone in our city. And this is Greg Mangarelli, and that's all for our show today. And so long for now. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A 1130 AM and 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley, and Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Barrett Propane, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, A&E Reaper Graphics, Prescott Dirt, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.